Officials in Germany are still investigating what turned a young Syrian man into a suicide bomber in the southern German town of Ansbach this past Sunday. The man had made a video pledging allegiance to the Islamic State. Authorities say the man had also attempted suicide twice in the past. He'd also been denied asylum in Germany and was expected to be deported to Bulgaria. The case is focusing attention on the question of what happens to migrants and refugees when they're in a sort of immigration limbo. Leonard Doyle is with the International Organization for Migration, and he joins us via Skype. And Leonard, clarify this for us. When an asylum seeker in a European country is denied, what happens then?
In the United States, as we know, there is one agency which deals with it. And if you are denied asylum, well, you'll probably be dealt with some rapidity, possibly incarcerated and then escorted to an airport near you at an appropriate moment. In Europe, it's not like that. You can be denied asylum and then allowed to stay in the system pending your appeals, to remain free, pending deportation issues and potentially abscond at that point to another country in Europe. And then you become kind of locked in a kind of wash and spin cycle between different European countries. There's a term for it. They call them Dublin cases, which has nothing to do with the city of Dublin, but everything to do with the treaty or the agreement that was initialed there, whereby you're meant to stay in the country where you make landfall. So okay. If you come into Europe, you land in Greece, you're meant to stick around there until your refugee asylum case is assessed. But of course, most of them skedaddle north pretty quickly to where the jobs are and to where the families are in Germany and what have you.
So give us a sense of scale. How many migrants or refugees are in Europe right now awaiting some kind of decision on their status?
I mean, the easiest way to talk about that is the number that came into Germany, because Germany has welcomed the overwhelming number, and that's over 1 million cases last year alone. So these were entering into a system that was already kind of pretty much at breaking point. So suddenly you have a huge new influx. You can see that the pressure is enormous on the German society. And of course, many of the folks who've come in are not entitled to asylum and maybe have other agendas in mind, as we've discovered tragically over the last couple of days.
And how long can the process take before some kind of decision is made on the refugee or migrant status?
I mean, that's very much, you know, a kind of a courts issue. But there is no doubt that, for example, those coming into countries like Italy, many of them are from sub-Saharan Africa as opposed to from Syria. You know, a negative ruling seems not to matter very much. It's difficult to apprehend them, and they end up, you know, in the best case scenario, they end up living lives of exploitation. And it's really very sad because they can't work in the formal economy. So they go and work in the agricultural sector, get paid very badly, live in the shadows, live exploited, you know, in the appalling circumstances in many cases. And it sort of goes on. There's no kind of end point to it.
Do you feel that the system of dealing with refugees or migrants in Europe is working or not?
I mean, it's clearly it's in great difficulty. There's no question about it. The problem is that getting agreement amongst the political entities of Europe is very difficult. And the agreement to get the pipeline turned off earlier this year, the pipeline from Turkey into Greece, happened at enormous expense. I mean, they put down 6 billion euro to persuade the Turkish government to turn it off. Now, African countries are saying, well, if you could pay the Turks 6 billion, you should be able to pay us something to help in our development so that people don't have to go north and seek a better life in a not always welcoming society. So I think what's happening is that the Europeans are coming to terms with the fact that it's going to be a costly process. You're either going to have the migrants come in, or you're going to figure out a way to close the door in a way that helps societies kind of develop, create jobs, give people a reason to stay home. Because frankly, most of the refugees and migrants would probably prefer to stay home closer to their families if they could do so in safety, or if they could earn a decent living and support their families.
Well, that's Leonard Doyle. He's with the International Organization for Migration, now the UN Migration Agency, speaking to us from Geneva. Thank you so very much.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.